Well, I understand tonight we have, for this session, we have a new group of saints here compared to this morning. Just curious, I think for my sake, how many were not able to join us this morning? Can you raise your hand, please? Okay. Okay, very good. Okay, so anyway, so really probably about 80% of you is here tonight, are here for the first time. So I need to do a little recap for you because the first meeting actually is, I consider is very important. For this burden, this weekend, the brothers here had this burden to target the young working saints in the area, which I fully agree. I fully echo this burden very much. I mean, this is a particular area of the country where many, bright, promising young people are gathered here because of their jobs, all these different opportunities, and you are here. And I really hope, through this fellowship, that you realize you're not here just merely for these opportunities, for your education, for your advancement of your career. Surely, it is, there are plentiful here, for you to pursue. But there's a lot more in our human life than what you are doing. And we began this morning. He's not on.
Okay. Is it all right? Yeah, it's on now. We began this morning by just taking a look at, I think the, by the way, for those who don't have an outline for this morning, message one, can you raise your hand and then the ushers can pass on to you. Those who have it, please don't take it. I think we had limited copies.
If you had one.
What I began to share this morning was this age is changing so fast. what we are seeing in these last 15, 20 years is the fastest, is the most dramatic in terms of change in the last 6,000 years of human history. That happened within such a short time. And, many of you are born in this era. And so we had this, most of you probably are here maybe in the Gen Z category, from high school upward to about 28, 29 in that area. This morning we had more of the millennials. But anyway, if you are millennial, you're welcome. It's okay. I think in general, in one sense, there is somewhat this kind of demarcation or, for the characterization of this different generation, I think to help the world people to just catch up with these changes because it's just happening so fast. They're trying to identify, understand, what's going on, with the young people today. With our old days, we don't worry about that. We didn't have to worry about because our changes was very gradual and very slow. But what's going on now is just too fast, too fast. And it seems to be it's getting faster. And so living in this environment, we really need to consider ourselves in where we are, where the world is, where God's purpose is, where the Lord's recovery is, so that we can better position ourselves and prepare ourselves. As we know, you know, the age is coming to a close. If you don't know, I think you need to wake up. You know, the age is coming to a close. I don't know how long. No one can tell you 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Probably not a whole lot, not much longer beyond that. And so we all are children of God, and we all have the divine life within us. So in some way, we have certain responsibility also toward God and toward the people around us. And living in this, in today's age, and particularly here in this Silicon Valley, full of high-tech firms and, you know, many, a lot of carrots hanging before you for you to go after, run after. Where should you be? Are we the same as, you know, all your colleagues working in the next cubicle or what? Are we the same as they are? Or are we, do we have a sense of purpose within us? Or are we just kind of doing things in a kind of a routine, regular way, except that, you know, we come to church once in a while, we participate in different activities, but more or less we just go on, you know, as the rest of the crowd. Dear brothers and sisters, I can tell you, many of the co-workers, many of the senior brothers, we are very, very burdened for you. And truly, this weekend, I'm very burdened. When I heard from the brothers, they have this desire to gather this group of saints for this weekend, I truly have a strong echo within me. And, you know, although I have prepared this outline, I'm not so much for that. How much we'll get into it, we'll see. But mainly, I feel there's a lot of burden from the Lord and praying for you all. I said last week, you know, the co-workers in Southern Cal, you know, there were about 25, some odd of us. We prayed about 3.5 hours together. And at least a third of the time was praying for you, the young working ones. I believe that burden is not just from ourselves, it's from the Lord's heart. I mean, you are a very, very, very crucial group of saints, age group of saints in the Lord's recovery. Knowing that you are facing, you know, the greatest challenges in life, the pressure from the world, demand of your own the career building, your family raising, a lot of demands, a lot of pressure, and the church on top also, you know, due to the passing away of many of the older generation. So, you know, you all are very much needed. Your portion is very much needed in the church life. So suddenly you find yourselves, you know, how to cut up your life, how to cut up your time, and how to meet all these demands. So instead of trying to, you know, balance out, you know, how much to give for this, how much to give for that, we came to some very basic and fundamental matter. This morning, we addressed the matter of knowing God's will.
Amen.
And also knowing the present age.
Amen.
I hope we should not be like ostriches, sticking our head in the sand and just say to ourselves, everything's okay, everything is calm, no World War III yet, you know, everything is still okay, you know, stock market is still going up, and you know, everything is fine. Things are not just as it appears on the surface. We need to know the will of God. This is not a new term to many of you, right? I think if you have been raised up in the church, you've been around for a few years, you know even in a superficial way, what is the will of God? The will of God is Christ. The will of God is the church. I think more or less we all can say that. But my question this weekend is, what is Christ to you in your career building, in your seeking, gaining a mate, finding a mate, a spouse, in your those who are married, in trying to raise a family? What is Christ to you? What is the church to you? Is it just a routine? Is it just a kind of a tradition that you try to keep? You know, saints, that of course, this message too is concerning the need for us to grow in life. We need to receive a supply. We cannot be just merely playing church and, just to live for the sake of living. We have to see there is something called the will of God, which is the source of everything, which is the driving force of every action. Revelation 4:11 tells us, it is because of his will we were and were created.
Amen.
That verse impressed me, touched me very much. I'm here today. I have my human existence, not randomly, not vainly, but because a will, God's will, directs me.
Amen.
God's will gives me my existence. And so my life needs to be, we need to consider our life in this regard. Am I lined up with that will of God?
Amen.
The will of God is Christ. The will of God is the church, his body. But what does that mean to us? It should not be just a knowledge, some knowledge or doctrine to us. Christ needs to be our center. Christ needs to be our everything. And the church is our living. The church is not something, a place that you go to once a week, a couple of times a week. The church is our living. It is the body of Christ. It is God's, Christ's corporate expression, his representation, for the fulfillment of God's eternal purpose. This is the will of God that he wants to carry out through this great plan, which we call his economy. God wants to work Christ into you, your life, my life, that this Christ would be everything to us. So that God may gain his expression and his representation. But we saw this morning that alongside with that will, there is another will that is operating, which is called the satanic will. The will of God's arch enemy, Satan. He has a strong will. He has a strong mind. Devising, doing everything to counter, to frustrate, to undermine, to attack, eventually to destroy God's plan. While God's plan, God's goal is to work Christ into us, that Christ can become our life and our everything, so that God may gain his expression. Now, Satan's will is to do what? Is to do a work to replace Christ in us. to substitute the place of Christ in our being with many things, good things, bad things. He will work, use all kinds of things to bring into our lives to replace the place of Christ in us. His stratagem, I would say, you can say, look at it in from two angles. One, his plan is by means of to bring in sin and flesh. Sin and flesh to corrupt man, to bring in corruption, evil. I think we readily recognize that, especially as believers. We know the darkness, the evil of sin and transgression. Satan not only used that, he also used what is called the world to what? To preoccupy you. Not only just to use sin and flesh to corrupt you, to corrupt man, but also to use the world to preoccupy, to take the place of Christ in you. We spend much time this morning talking about this thing called the world. The world, this word in Greek is cosmos, which means an ordered system, an arranged, well-arranged system, well-designed system. The head of that system is the devil, Satan. He is the mastermind of that system. He worked out a marvelous plan, a plan that hardly anyone notice, pay attention. That is something countering what God is doing. He could not use sin and flesh to ruin man, to corrupt man. That is readily recognized. But now he uses this thing called the world to preoccupy man. This world in the Bible is used many, 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 many times, and it is one of the most frequently used words by the Apostle John in both his gospel and epistle. The world, as he says in 1 John chapter 2, do not love the world. If one loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And even in the Gospel of John, in chapter 12, the Lord Jesus himself said, now is the judgment of the world. And the ruler, and now shall be the judgment of, now the ruler of this world is judged. There is a ruler behind this world. A prince, a ruler, the mastermind. The world, firstly, refers to this earth that we live on, this globe. It also refers to the people living on this earth. We are all part of this world as God loved us. God loves the world. But beside this, this word cosmos, this word world, there is a system with all the entertainments, all the elements of the glamour, the fun, even all the excitement, all the things therein in this called the world as a system to design, to capture the people today. And the Lord says clearly, now is the judgment of the world. That is not referring to the worldly people, nor to this earth, but it's referring to that system under Satan's rule, under Satan's direction. On the cross, when Jesus was crucified, he judged that world. That is the destiny of this cosmos, of this system, anti-God system. I read a portion from this book, a book by Brother Watchman Nee, The Messages, compiled in this book called Love Not the World. This is from the Collected Works. I highly also recommend to you, this group of saints, please get a copy. You cannot read it on the web because it's not available in the digital form. You have to pay a few dollars to buy a copy, right? It's good to read some books. It's good to read some books. I mean, you're so used to reading, you know, from your device or whatever. Good to pay a few dollars to get a book. Love Not the World. Where Brother Nee, from a most fundamental level, expose what this evil system is. And there is the two things he pointed out. One, you know, based on the Lord's word there in John 12, verse 31, I said, that this world, this system is God's enemy. Is anti-God, right? And secondly, this world system has a mind behind it. There's a prince, there's a ruler behind it. So all the things that we are participating, that we are enjoying, it's not just merely convenience, it's just not merely fun. There is a mind behind it. That the Apostle Paul even called that a system of error. A system of error in the sleight of men, like the ones playing dice in the gambling place to cheat people. Apparently, you know, we are living in a very prosperous world. Things are, you know, just keep advancing, developing. I mean, I'm, you know, these things, once you only read in the science fiction, is now before you, right? Once you read, I don't know who that guy was, you know, talking on the phone, right? It was years ago, this cartoon or whatever. Somebody. Now here it is. You're actually doing it. This is our everyday life. But do you see this only as an advancement in science, technology, you know, making lives, people's life more convenient, easy to live? Or do you have any sensation that there is a mastermind behind this to control, to direct, to capture, to occupy, preoccupy the space, the capacity within man's heart, so that there's no room for God? Outwardly, you may be coming to the meeting, but your heart is not there. You may be reading the Bible, reading the life study with your friends, but your heart is not there. There's not enough space. All the gigs are all filled. There's no room, out of space. But yet we can continue the routines. We all have to be before the Lord. I have to stand before the Lord. Lord, I mean, we love the Lord. There's no doubt about it. We love the church. No doubt about it. We are all here. You're sacrificing a couple of couple of hours of your precious time to come together tonight. Praise the Lord. But our heart, how much space is there? You have, you know, 1 gig of space, you know, 900K is already used up, you know. Not much space left for any storage. You can sit through a meeting, read through something, but nothing gets in. We are finding ourselves, you know, in this kind of a situation. The world is just busy, busy, busy. We are just like we're in a rat race, just running every day. So this morning we touch, I don't want to spend too much more time, but this is what we touch. There is God's will. There is an anti-God system, which is of the satanic will that is operating. The goal is to, instead of dispensing Christ into you, he is displacing Christ. To make sure to Christ is displaced from your heart, which is the error that Paul talks about. And today, I mean, with this kind of world that we are living in, right? I don't know. You look at your screen time. You know, just check your screen time. You know how much, you know, you are stuck to this web. I told this morning, it's the World Wide Web. It's very descriptive. You are not only connected, you are stuck to it. Very sticky. The whole world lives around this thing. So, and then, you know, also this morning we talk about we need to know this age, brothers and sisters. Don't be like an ostrich. We have to wake up to realize what age are we living in? We are not living in the age, the time of Martin Luther 500 years ago. We're not living, you know, in the time of the brethren 200 years ago, 10 or some years ago. We're living in this 21st century. 6,000 years since Adam, and so Adam was created. It's about time for the seventh day to come in as a Sabbath. And the Lord's coming is closer every day. And so we need to know where we are. The age, the age that the Lord charges us, we need to know the time. You can discern the season, the weather, by looking at the sky. Oh, the sky is red. Tomorrow will be a good day. You know, you can make some discernment what the weather may be like. But you cannot discern today's age. This is the age of Noah. As the Lord says, the day of his coming will be just like the time of Noah, where people eat and drink, giving in to marriage. Not just kind of an ordinary, common kind of marriage, the mixed marriage between the angels, the fallen angels and men, creating a super race. Very corrupt. The homosexuality. Then the things are going on in the age of Noah. And the Lord says his coming, the time of his coming, is just exactly like the age of Noah. It has been nearly 6,000 years. And here we are, finding ourselves, living very much in the age of Noah. Of course, it's, on the one hand, it's very much, much more prosperous, much, much more advanced than, you know, in the time of Noah. But in principle, in essence, it's the same. That spirit operating in that time is operating today. We need to know, as the Lord says, you need to discern the times. The Apostle Paul says something similar in Romans 13. Knowing the times, as we see the days approaching, the Lord's coming is drawing near. We need to know the time so we can, that we should walk becomingly. So, I'm glad this weekend, maybe, you know, we all need a little, make a little stop, a little pause from all the busyness that you've been engaging in, to be before the Lord, be before His Word, and let Him speak to us. It's serious. I mean, we are very concerned for you, for the young generation like yourselves. You are the upcoming. You are the future. You are the continuation. We all know that. But in what way you are going to continue the Lord's recovery, the Lord's testimony? Not just in terms of human existence, just to have more bodies to continuing, you know, but our spirit, our heart, how we can genuinely be the proper continuation of the Lord's testimony. So, tonight, you know, we come to this second message. It's concerning, the title is Enjoying a Rich Supply. By partaking of the divine nature and pursuing the development of the divine life for a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom.
Amen.
Pay attention to the word supply. Especially for working saints, you need a supply.
Amen.
You work 60, 50, 60, 70 hours a week. And thank the Lord you can barely get yourself, get your tired body to come to a meeting. You pay your duty, pay your dues. But that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants you to be supplied.
Amen.
To be a Christian, not just to barely keep your head out of, above the water. But as it says in 2 Peter, that there would be a rich entrance.
Amen.
Be ministered to you into the eternal kingdom of our Lord. So, supply. As I see, you know, many young working saints. I mean, you work so hard, you're striving, trying to build your career, and now some of you may be, you know, also in the midst of courtship, trying to get, you know, into marriage, or start to raise your children. You started to find out a lot of challenges, right, and. How you're expecting your first child, and how to decorate your room, and you know what to get, all the, you know. This morning, this brother said he was coveting instead of cars, he's coveting what?
Strollers.
Who can get a better stroller? More reliable stroller. Can you believe that? I mean, this is what I think the young people's mind, you know, is occupied with. You know, my wife and I, we got married on the East Coast. We live on the East Coast. And our children were born there in Providence, Rhode Island. And we had snow, you know, every year. And we had, you know, in the church there, we had prayer meeting, you know. When prayer meetings come, we just put the kids into a little cradle, you know, and then bring them to the prayer meeting. And then we just bundle them up. You know, it's okay. You know, we just bring them there. Sometimes the wives, they will take turn, you know, half an hour here, each one, take care of the children, and the prayer continues. You know, in the treacherous time, the snow, we just, that's okay. We don't need the most expensive stroller, and we just
Just do it with what we have. But nowadays, you know, because of the abundance of things, you know, the younger generation becoming more, they are more demanding. They have this, you know, has a lot more preferences, you know, this and that, and they can afford, you know, they have money now, and they can get more. But it's not about that, brothers and sisters. There is a mind at work behind all this. While you're doing all these things, the space of Christ is being squeezed out. You're very occupied, preoccupied with all the things of your life. There's not much space left for Christ. So, and then so you keep things going, you keep your job going, keep your family going, until you keep the church life going, and then suddenly you find yourself drying up. You know, drying up. Some brothers, okay, you're asked to do an opening word that Sunday morning. Okay, I'm so busy. I've been just, you know, my kids were sick, and then my boss is giving me this additional task. You know, now the brothers have been to do an opening word this Sunday. Okay, AI, ChatGPT, help me. You know, I'm not joking. A brother told me actually that's what he did. You know, he just turned over the holy word into ChatGPT, and then I'll come a very fairly decent a little message, right? To get by, to get him through, like a few minutes of opening word. But what is this, brother? Is it all we want? It's just to make sure the time is filled up, make sure there's a little, you know, good word spoken. There's no spirit with AI. There's no spirit in ChatGPT, right? I mean, it does a wonderful job in summarizing things, you know, giving, but there's no spirit, there's no burden, there's no life there. So you find yourself, what do? You don't have time. So you look for these channels, these options, you know, to fill up the lack. So I realize, I fully understand, you know, many of you are in this kind of, find yourself in this strait, you know, in this kind of a situation. But here, this is very, very important. If we are going to go on as believers, as a Christian, and to live a life that is worthy of God's calling, of God's purpose, we need to live a life with a supply. As the Lord's word show us, and yesterday, I was just kind of considering this burden this weekend. This matter came to me about the Lord's being tempted or tested three times. Right after his baptism, he is about to begin his ministry. And it says that the Spirit led him to the wilderness. He was not led by Satan. The Spirit led him to the wilderness. And there he fasted 40 days, 40 nights. And after the fasting, the devil, the tempter, came to him. And the first thing was, if you're the Son of God, you can turn these stones into bread. You don't have to stay hungry. It's important you get something to eat. And the Lord replied, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. The first thing that Satan came as a test to this God-man, first God-man, was concerning the human living. Your eating. Your daily life, how are you going to live? This is the first item of this test. Every one of us is undergoing a test in our Christian life. Good number of you passed through the full-time training. You may have finished all the midterms and finals. Sam, you just finished not too long ago. You probably did well in all that test. But now you are in the real test.
Amen.
You are being tested. The first thing about the testing is about your living. How are you going to live? What are you going to eat? Every day you are, you know, you're looking for this job, you know, to make sure you survive. Especially living in this high expensive real estate area. Who can afford? How can I continue to live here and work here? So I have to work harder. I have to get raises. I have to create even maybe some more different opportunities so that I can take care of my living. That is the first item, our Savior God, Jesus, being tested in, the living, practical human living. And Jesus responded, man does not live by bread alone. We live by the word of God. In other words, here, our real food is not just to have good housing, good food on the table, good life. We need the real bread, the living bread, God's word. Dear brothers and sisters, many of you are, you know, you are engaging in your, you know, working for these .com companies. And you go by, you know, the boss comes to you with all the expected, giving you all these bigger carrots, you know, you promotion, bonuses, you just give me a lot more time. You'll be rewarded more. So we all get easily enticed by these things. And so you basically sold yourself, you know, to this being slavery, to this system, in order to make a living. But remember, brothers and sisters, our living on the earth is not just by this physical bread. We live by the word of God.
Amen.
By God's breath, by God himself. I shared with you, you know, this morning, many of us, you know, when I joined the first migration, you know, in the first time in 1973, I moved from Los Angeles to the East Coast. You know, there was a migration to Baltimore, you know, to have a church life there. We didn't Google ahead of time what opportunities were there, what housing were there. There was, of course, it was not available, you know, then, but we just went. We trust in God's calling. We trust in his faithfulness. We trusted the Lord's provision. We just went there. Of course, I'm not lying to you. It's not easy. It was hard. But yet, we made it. We made it through. The Lord provided. And, you know, there's a, you know, the our living is such a practical thing to us. But we don't just let the job to lead us. You know, in these days, we also encourage migration to the GTCA cities and so forth. And then, you know, you go into Google to look ahead what's available and this and that. Well, I'm glad you have a heart to move to join the migration, but you know, our way, the means, we are not trusting in God. We are trusting in these physical means. What's there for me? Can I make it? We never thought, can I make it or not? We just went. We have to make it. If there's nothing there, we have to, somehow the Lord has to bring us through. And there were so many testimonies like this. Man does not live by bread alone. We live by every word out of the mouth of God. That means we trust in the Lord. Don't let your job be your to dictate your life. Pharaoh will not let up his demand. Pharaoh is going to ask for more and more. Less straw, but more bricks. And we tell Pharaoh, we are here to serve the Lord.
Amen.
We're here to hold a feast to Jehovah.
Amen.
We have to go. If it is not in the right condition, so be it. Then we just move on. So that's the first test. What's the second test? The devil brought Jesus to the wing of the temple. And they're telling Jesus, the Son of God, according to the scripture, if you jump down, the angel will hold you up. You will not fall apart. You will not be dashed to death. And Jesus says, do not tempt the Lord your God. What does this mean? This is related to the religious miracles that many of us as Christians, we like to see. Miracles is a big thing in religion. To do something, to perform miracles is to make you to be admired at. We like to, whether big miracle or small miracles, we like to show people, look, my God is true. He is real. Look at, I just got this $500,000 job. I just pray and God gave me this job. Praise the Lord. God is real. The religious miracle, our superstition, and even there is within every man, there is this religious desire within us to see God perform something great. But here, the Son of Man, he told the devil, "Do not tempt the Lord your God." I'm not going to jump down. I'm not going to show people I'm the Son of God. The angel holding me up. He could have done that. People may, wow, glory be to God. What a great miracle. Brother Lee, in the life study of Matthew there, he took something that was really touching. He said, don't jump down. Just walk down the hill. And don't run down, walk slowly. So as if to people, you are so weak, you don't trust God, you are just a weak sauce. No power, no strength. You say you are for God so much, you are so absolute, you are this and that, you cannot even cause God, ask God to help you to fix this. Really just walk down slowly, as if you are so weak. Don't be tempted by the religious miracles to show off yourself, how powerful you are. And then thirdly, the third test is what? Third test is the devil brought the Son of Man to a high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world with his glory, and told the Son of Man, you just worship me. All these will be yours. All the glories will be yours. Just like, Google will say, you just work for me. Give me your life. All these will be yours. You have all the pleasures you want. You have all the bonuses you want. Then the Son of Man replied, worship the Lord your God. Him only shall you serve. This ain't, living in this time of abundance, plentifulness, especially like in this area. If you want to, I'm sure you all have capacity. You all are very capable and smart. If you want to, you surely can hit it big. But you are worshiping something else. In Ezekiel chapter 14, I think verse 3, it says, Jehovah says that, look at my people, they are idols in their hearts. Idols in their heart. I always thought idols are what these big Buddha in the temple. No, the idols are in your heart. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says, greediness, covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is idolatry. Sometimes when I read the word idolatry, I somewhat, could not associate it with it, because that's China, that's Hong Kong, in those many Buddhist temples, these are in the Far East. I'm not for that. But how about covetousness? Even covet a stroller, the best stroller. That's idolatry. Our covetousness, our coveting, the promotion, the better salary, the position. There are idols in our heart. So every day, without our realizing, we are worshiping idols, sorry to say. And here, as the Son of Man was being tempted, you bow down to me, all these things will be given to you. The Lord, responded, worship the Lord your God. Him alone do we serve. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm not here to adjust how you live, how you conduct your life and your job, your family situation. Everyone's life is different. But there's some fundamental matter, as we touched this morning and also tonight, right? Is that there is another system operating. And there is a ruler, a mind, another mind operating behind all this to carry out a plot in a very subtle way. And here, as God's children, we are young, many young working ones. You need to take care of the supply in your spirit. That as you are, going on in your, this has to be the first thing you need to take care of. Don't let anything to deprive you from the supply you should be getting. How are you going to grow in the Lord? How are you going to become mature in life when Christ returns? Well, let me go into the outline a little bit. First point says, as those who have received equally precious faith, we, the believers in Christ, should be partakers of the divine nature. At the time of our believing, a seed of faith has been sown into us. This faith is nothing but Jesus Christ himself being revealed to us. We saw him. We touched him. We heard him. Something within us responded. That was our faith. And this faith is this wonderful person being televised into us. And this is an equally precious faith among all the believers. We should be, as such, we should be partakers of the divine nature. This seed of faith sown into us is not just as a ticket for us to go to heaven. It's so that we can actually daily partake, we can partake of God's holy, the divine nature. The divine nature, the next point, point A says, the divine nature refers to what? Refers to what God is. The riches, the elements, the constituents of God's being. God being the Spirit, God being light, God being love, God being life. These are all the riches of God's being that we can actually partake of. We human beings can partake of the divine nature. This is the greatest miracle, that human beings can partake of God's divine nature. Amen. The supply that we need comes from this divine nature. Amen. With all the riches of God's being, his life, his love, his light, his being the Spirit can be our supply. Without this supply, all we can at most that we are carrying out is just a kind of formality and routine. But no, we don't want that. We're not satisfied with that. I'm here to serve the Lord. I'm here to worship him in spirit and in truthfulness. B says the divine life and the divine nature are inseparable. The divine nature is the substance of the divine life and is within the divine life. Amen. We all have been born of God, aren't we? Amen. Haven't we? We have been regenerated, right? Amen. The life of God entered into us. And then along with that life and contained in that life is a nature. The nature is like the inner essence. All the riches of that life is in that nature. Like you eat the chicken soup. You know, the essence of that chicken is in that soup. You drink that soup, you take in all the riches of that chicken. The divine life has a divine nature, bearing all the riches, divine riches and the divine characteristics. And now the Apostle Peter tells us we can actually partake, we can enjoy, we can have a share. Amen. Of this divine nature. Amen. How do we do this? See, says, as the children of God, we are God-men, born of God, possessing the life and nature of God, and belonging to the species of God. A partaker of the divine nature is one who enjoys the divine nature and participates in the divine nature. Amen. We can enjoy, we can participate. You don't have to be deprived. You don't need to be in famine. You can enjoy, you can participate. Little one says to partake of the divine nature is to enjoy what God is. To be a partaker of the divine nature is to be a partaker of the riches, the elements, and the constituents of God's being. If we would be partakers of the divine nature, we need to live by the divine life within which is the divine nature. Then next point says, we enjoy the riches of the divine nature through God's precious and exceedingly great promises. God's nature is, the divine nature is contained within the divine life. And this divine nature And this divine life is embodied in His Word. His Word full of exceedingly great promises. These promises, such as mentioned here in the verses, "My grace is sufficient for you." And at the end of Matthew, the Lord says, "I shall be with you until the end of this age." These are the precious promises. As we go to work, as we are going, you know, going through our daily chores and routines, we need the Word. Dear brothers and sisters, no matter how busy you are, every morning upon rising, spend at least 5-10 minutes with the Lord. If possible, a little bit longer. But if your schedule is indeed so busy, but at least spend the 10 minutes. Turn your heart to the Lord. Come to His Word. Receive that great and precious promises. Having the Word and without the Word is a big difference. Don't just charge forward to go to work and get your thing done, and then try to do some shortcuts, and then try to meet the different demands. No, it comes down to some of these very basic and is very fundamental practices. We need the Word. Amen. You cannot go without the Word. Amen. The Word which contains all the precious promises. Amen. Even as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, "He said to me," the Lord spoke to him. Amen. When we come to spend time with the Lord, we need to aspire, "Lord, speak to me.
Amen.
Give me a word."
The
Lord spoke to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you."
Amen.
That was good enough. Having a word, that became his supply to face all the demands, all the challenges. The work is going to continue to pile on us, make demands on us. But you need his word to be the supply to you.
Being a partaker of the divine nature has a condition that we escape the corruption which is in the world by lust. We need to live in the cycle of escaping and partaking, and of partaking and escaping.
There's a condition. That means we have to escape this world, this cosmos that we've been talking about. I am really afraid that many of us, we have no idea what we are in, what we are touching. We are touching something that is really, devilish mind. We are touching fire. Apparently, you are just here, doing your calculation, you're here doing your computer, clicking away, you're doing the swiping away, all these things. Apparently, very conveniently, you're touching something very dangerous. I mentioned this morning, this AI, right? How many people commit suicide because of AI? AI give people a lot of convenience, a lot of help, but it also, while they're helping you, the end goal is to destroy you. AI is what, don't forget, is a heap of ruin.
Amen.
Right? In Genesis, what stood across from Bethel, the house of God, is a city called AI. It's a heap of ruin. So before anybody thought about AI, God already put it there.
Long in the past, AI, heap of ruin, in contrast to Bethel. And today is exactly like this. AI versus Bethel. It's a warfare. It's a battle.
I hope, you know, the Lord by his mercy would sensitize us to realize we are in a time of warfare. Amen. It's a time of conflict between two wills, the will of God and the will of Satan, being carried out through all these means, his plot. Things are not as promising as you think it is. Be careful as you are. You know, I'm not, and please don't misunderstand me, I'm discouraging you from using ChatGPT or discouraging you from getting onto computers and things. That's not what I mean. I mean this, you know, you all need this for your livelihood, for your going on, for your all your business, your job and your family and all these things. This is part of life now. I mean, I admit that. But you have to have this conviction within. There's a mind behind all this. There's a mind directing, capturing all the people in one net. Very, very skillful. The design today is too skillful. Satan's plot. Eventually, I said this morning also, as God's will is, aim is to have Christ being everything to us. And Satan's will eventually is to bring in that man of sin, the Antichrist. He will be appearing soon. People will be worshiping him. Where he will appear, we don't know. But it should not be long. He is here somewhere. We are living in this time of, you know, much confusion, much chaos in the midst of so-called apparent prosperity. There is a mind that is directing all these things. So in the midst of all this, I don't want, I'll maybe another 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes. We need to grow in life.
Amen.
Yesterday, a brother asked this question, which I appreciate. He said, well, you're telling us all these challenges, all these, you know, what's the opportunity here? You know, with challenges, they come opportunity. The challenges should present some opportunities. Well, while you're living in the midst of all these, you know, this environment of challenges, I realize it's not easy. Even as, you know, you're raising up children, and then even you're developing your career, and even your courtship, trying to find a mate, all these. You are living in a very, very challenging age right now. That the promising, that the opportunity is where? Is that we may be able to experience his intensified organic salvation. In this environment, as pressing as it may seem, as challenging as it may seem, you are pressed. You're pressed to go to the Lord. You're pressed. Don't just go to take a shortcut. Take the easy way out to get some relief. But press to the Lord. Lord, I need you. I need you. How to raise my family in this confusing environment? How to advance in my work without being caught by this web, by this system? How to walk on this very constricted path? You need to pray in a desperate way. And I tell you, as you pray desperately, you grow. You will grow genuinely. Your roots will go down. I'm very concerned also with the superficiality of Christians today, and including many of us. You know, we have the high peak truth, we have all the knowledge of the truth, but I'm concerned many are just on the surface level. You need to have some real dealing with the Lord to send your roots deep down to the roots, to the earth. Just to pass through 2 years of full-time training does not guarantee, does not imply you are, say, home free. No. It gives you a good start, no doubt. Wonderful start. But you have to build on that foundation to learn how to be pressed, how to be tested and be approved. To send your roots deep down into the soil to receive the supply. Let me just finish off this point here. If we enjoy God and partake of the riches of His being, He will be constituted with the divine nature, becoming the same as God in life and in nature, but not in the Godhead, and expressing Him in all that we are and do. As we partake of the divine nature, enjoying all that God is, the riches of the divine nature will be fully developed as described in verses 5 through 7. The 5 through 7, that's when Peter talked about adding to our faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, and so forth. Eventually, brotherly love and love. These are the 8 stages of development. I really hope, young brothers and sisters, yes, you are living in a time of great challenge, but this is a great opportunity if you know where to position yourself. You know this age. You know God's will. Amen. You know you have a seed of faith already planted in you. Amen. How you can, God has provided His provision to us to cause us that we can grow in the midst of this demanding, challenging hour. That we may actually can experience God's intensified salvation, the sevenfold intensified spirit operating to speed up our growth. Amen. I think in our hymn that we sang tonight, there's something about speeding up, to speed up our enjoyment of the grace. We do need some speeding. I cannot speed it up for you. You cannot speed it up for yourself. You need to cooperate with the Lord as He provides you in the midst of this demanding environment, not to yield, but to exercise your spirit, to take the grace, you experience His intensified organic salvation to speed up your growth. The next 10 years will be very important. Dear saints, many of you are in your 30s, maybe. I think an average about in your 30s, plus and minus. Next 10 years. To cooperate with the Lord, to develop that seed of faith in you. Don't trust in the bread, the stone, the physical bread. Come to the Word, feed on the Word of God. Amen. Don't be deceived by all the superstitious religion, religious miracles, power. Take a very ordinary, common steps, as if we are just nothing, and we are nothing. And we don't worship the devil. Doesn't matter, He gives me all the kingdoms and all the glory. Worship only the Lord our God.
Amen.
For the next 10 years, if all of us, all you young working saints, the Gen Z, whatever, the next 10 years, you would take this way, take this path. Your growth will be speeded up. You'll be able to be ushered into a rich entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ. You know, the next point talk about we need to pursue the development of this divine life and the divine nature contained in the divine seed that has been sown into us so that we may have a rich entrance into the eternal kingdom. And we have been allotted this wonderful, wonderful, equally precious faith. This faith is in the all-inclusive seed. All the divine riches are in this seed, but we must be diligent to develop them. To grow to maturity is to develop what we already have.
Amen.
Along as you are developing your career, you need to develop this seed in you by cooperating with this seed of faith in you. By developing these virtues, we grow in life. Eventually, we will reach maturity, be full of Christ, and be qualified and equipped to be kings in the coming kingdom. I'd like to, you know, read to you these verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to 15 says, until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, at a full-grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may be no longer little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching in the sleight of men, in craftiness with a view to a system of error. I hope that in these coming 10 years, the Lord will grow in all of you, that you will no longer be babes, little children, but you will grow in life,
amen,
growing on to the full stature, the full-grown man.
Amen.
There is a sleight of men. There is the craftiness. There's craftiness. Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. In this system, again I say, there's a mind, mastermind, very crafty, designing all these things. The social element, the political element, even in the educational field, all these are masterfully designed by this, the devil, Satan, to occupy you, preoccupy you. So that we would be delivered from being little children, from this craftiness in the view of to a system of error, but holding to truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things.
Amen.
Truly, in these days, before the Lord returns, there is a big need for us to grow in him.
Amen.
Grow in the divine life.
Amen.
The Lord is not going to come back for a little girl. He is coming back for a mature bride. So you and I, we all need to grow. We must see through all this system of error, this crafty work of Satan.
Amen.
And the following points basically brought us to, you know, these eight levels of development, stages of development in 2 Peter 1. Talking about to add virtue to faith. What is the faith is already in us, but we need to add virtue, which refers to the energy of the divine life issuing in a vigorous action in the exercise of the equally precious faith. We have already faith in us, but we need the exercise of our spirit as that virtue. The virtue means excellence. It's the excellence, the energy of the divine life to bring out the essence of that faith in us. The faith is already in you, but you need to exercise your spirit with the energy of the divine life to bring forth the riches of that faith. And virtue need to be added with the bountiful supply of the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We need the proper knowledge. You know, nowadays, you know, we talk to young ones like yourselves. We realize there's so many concepts. Concepts toward God, toward the church, right? And, you know, even in your relationship with one another. Our concept, sorry to say, is too much directed, controlled by all the multimedia, all the streams come through your device, feeding you how you should take care of your marriage, how you should choose a mate, a man, brother or a sister, or who you should marry to, what kind, how to raise up your children. Too much today, because of this, the availability, the convenience of all the social media, you are being fed every day, day and night, with this. A lot of lies spoken enough times became truth. The earth is not round, the earth is square. He said, that's wrong. If you hear it enough times, you'll say, well, maybe it is square. It's true. The Lord already said, in the end time, the spirit of lies is operating. The spirit of deception. Nowadays, especially in this age of AI, you really don't know what's true and what's not true. What's real, what is fake. The spirit of deception in every level is operating. We need truth. We need to know God. We need to know Christ. Don't underestimate the full-time training. You may have some certain opinion, certain concept. Oh, you're wasting your time there. No. If you have not, if you are of age, you just graduated from college, I surely encourage you, go to the Lord about this. This is a great opportunity for you to be educated. But even after the 2 years of training, still, because of all the convenience of all the social media and internet, if you are not exercised, you still can easily be influenced, affected by all the thoughts of this age. You know, brothers were telling me, you know, even some of the some of you are single ones, you are looking at a time of looking for a companion, looking for a spouse. You have all kinds of concepts, right? What kind of a wife I'm going to have, beautiful, submissive, fun to be with, and, outgoing, this and that. And church sisters, FTTA grads, not my type. And maybe vice versa. And some have to go out, get onto the web, take a look what's out there. Among us, we don't have a rule. We don't have to tell you what to do, what not to do. But I believe I have said enough of the danger, the risk of this cosmos, this mind, in craftiness, to deceive you, to preoccupy you. You have to come to know God, to know His will, to know His word. Your marriage is holy. Your marriage is important in God's house, in God's church. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it just in the worldly, natural way, according to your own natural preference and according to the world standard. Check with God. How is God? How does God feel about my marriage? Put aside all your preferences, all your choices. Come to God related to your marriage. Consecrate your marriage to God. He is ultimately the every marriage is arranged by Him. But we have to consecrate this to the Lord. As you are in the course of choosing your mate, we pray that not only there would be many marriages, but also after you're married, your married life will be sanctified, will be consecrated for Christ and the church. I hope there will be so many young families, young couples becoming so useful in all the churches. Yes, we all agreed the future of the church is yours. The future of recovery is yours. But in what way? You need to be sanctified, right? Must be according to God. Don't just take it upon your own hand. You know, don't just check with the internet, check with ChatGPT, what should be the best criteria to find my mate. It will give you suggestions for a list of them. But you have to be very careful. That is totally of that system. You need to know God's will. I hope in these next 10 years, I say again, learn to know God, to know the Bible, to know God's will. Then upon this knowledge of God, you have to add self-control. The exercise of self-control. Even in this matter of marriage, you have to exercise much self-control. Don't be led by your lust. Don't be led by your own selfish desires. There has to be a self-control. Be governed by the heavenly vision. That your life, your marriage, can be counted something worthy of God. Right? Something holy. Something that even, you know, that is for people to respect and honor. Then you have to add to your self-control endurance, that is toward others, to bear with others. In developing the seed of faith, you need to develop this corporate life together, how to live with one another in one accord. And godliness, a living like God, that expresses God, and then brotherly love, and love. Ultimately, there is just love, the agape love, God's love that we are developing. Eventually, we are exactly like God in life and nature, not in His Godhead. I know my time is over. This is just my burden. I cannot finish the rest of the outline is here. But just this last point, Romans 3, seek first His kingdom. Amen. And His righteousness. Amen. All these things will be added to you.
Amen.
Your marriage, your livelihood.
Amen.
Believe me, God has never shortchanged anyone who fear Him, who seek after Him.
Amen.
I have been serving the Lord full time for the last 38 years. Well, many times not easy, but I can testify to you, my marriage, my children, family, my livelihood, God has not shortchanged me.
Amen.
We can trust in Him. Don't trust in ChatGPT. Trust in our God. He is faithful. Well, I better stop here. I think I better turn it over back to the MC brothers for them to continue. Okay, tell you what to do.